When I discovered Jessica was pregnant with Evelyn, I was stunned in a good way. It was incredible to see how God knitted Evelyn together in Jessica's womb from conception to birth, human life. But when others look at the development of a baby inside the womb, they proclaim, "Look what I have done. Look what I am doing. Isn't it a miracle what I'm doing?" And since their body is forming the baby, God is irrelevant in the process. This type of thinking was a constant challenge for me as Jess and I went to these prenatal classes in the hospital, because they were driven by a secular mindset of human life. And recognizing this way of thinking, Julian Huxley says, "The sense of relief that comes from rejecting the idea of God as a supernatural being is enormous. Jess and I felt that weight of blasphemy. We felt it." Friends, blasphemy occurs when we disregard God and make him irrelevant in our lives. Blasphemy occurs when we set ourselves up against God's name, God's character, and his work in the world. Blasphemy occurs when we take something that God designed for a good purpose and abuse that purpose. When we misrepresent our position as stewards of God's glory, it damages his reputation in this world. And that's why the church throughout the centuries has been so damaging, because it blasphemed. False worship, pride, and unbelief are all forms of blasphemy. It's not just saying some strange or silly words before God. It's much more than that. Blasphemy is witnessed in Genesis 11. You may know the story of the great building which was being built in Babylonia. The people wanted to build a tower that reached to the heavens. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to say to the world, or to everyone, "Look at us, look how great we are." But they were mistaken. They wanted to be like God, having power over all things. I would like to suggest that blasphemy is the Babylonian way of life. It's the way of life which we've been seeing constantly in Daniel. And as we come to Daniel 5, we must be humble. We must be very humble. This passage is a great warning to us as we live in a world driven by the Babylonian way. A world focused on making a name for ourselves. And coming to the text, we must ask the question, am I being Babylonianized? Am I being influenced by Babylon? So let's explore Daniel 5 together. Open up your Bibles. Let's look. In Daniel 4, King Nebuchadnezzar's pride was humbled before the God the Most High. And now there's a new king on the scene, and we see that his name is Belshazzar. To showcase his fame, the new king gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. In these oriental cultures, the king would usually drink with a small... Belshazzar, he isn't like all the other people, all the other kings who came before him. He is a rule breaker. He is a custom breaker. He wants to invite the whole kingdom, all the nobles, to celebrate his fame, his name with him. He then gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple of Jerusalem so that the crowd may drink from them. But what is so bad about drinking from these goblets? Well, if we understand that Nebuchadnezzar took these treasures from Jerusalem as God-conquering trophies, what Belshazzar is doing here is even more outrageous. By drinking from these goblets, knowing the power of God from his father's reign and what God did to his father in humbling him, we see a public mocking by all the Babylonian nobles together. Look at Israel's God now. He is puny. He is nothing. I am the Most High. And as they drank the wine from these goblets, they praised their Babylonian gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and clay, as you can see in verse 4. Instruments used to honor God in Jerusalem became tools of mocking in Babylon. Babylon blasphemed God. So sad to see. And blaspheming God is a classic hallmark of being Babylonian, as we saw in Genesis 11. And I recall one day walking into an office. A lady yelled out, "Jesus Christ!" She then turned around and noticed my presence. She knew that I was a Christian. She then said aloud, "Jeez, gee whiz, jeez!" She was trying to cover it up. I looked down. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. She was trying to cover up her words. It was quite interesting to see, and like Belshazzar, she had a basic knowledge of God. I know her from my childhood. She is a practicing Roman Catholic. But instead of using that knowledge with reverence, she blasphemed the Most High. But knowing this blasphemy in our world, I wonder how we are influenced by it. I wonder how we're influenced by it. We may replace "oh my God" with "oh my gosh," or "Jesus Christ" with "cheese and fries." But I'm convinced that the Babylonian way is influencing us more severely than we think. I think we're being deceived in subtle ways. Think of the God of iron, wood, and clay, our dwelling place, our home. On New Year's Day, we promise ourselves that we will redo our 10-year-old bathroom with a modern, neutral look. You then look at all the magazines, you go to the news agency, or you look online these days, you get one of those magazines with the beautiful homes, you see that neutral grey tone, you want it, you want to buy into it. We then dream of a bathroom with delicate tones, accompanied by new vanity lighting, underfloor heating systems, brass and gold tone fixtures and wooden oak surfaces. Then once our resolution is achieved, we aren't satisfied. We then walk out of the bathroom into the kitchen and realize it's 9 years old. But not before we invest in a 4K TV for the games room, because our one that's 5 years old, has been outdated. It doesn't have smart TV. You can't watch Netflix on it. We never have enough. We're never fulfilled. Especially when the Babylonians down the road just installed a bar in the outdoor area accompanied by Foxtel and a spa. Don't get me wrong, our homes are great spaces. They're spaces where memories are formed, where the scriptures are studied, where we can enjoy God's creation, where we can rest, be at peace. But when they become the place where we find our fulfillment as individuals, they can become blasphemous. How is Babylon influencing us? How are we like the Babylonians, blaspheming the Most High God with the gods of our culture? What things are controlling us and consuming our mind, causing us to misrepresent God? What things are we dreaming about when we scroll through Google? Gumtree, the JB Hi-Fi catalog. How are we any different to this secular world? Brick by brick, we build our portfolios, financial stability, social media accounts, and reputation in the local community, building a name for ourselves, rather than honoring the Most High God with our finance, our time, our joy. We become so inward focused that we forget the mission of God in this world. We can easily fall into the Babylonian dream, the American dream or the Australian dream, whatever it is. A dream of building a tower that reaches to the heavens. This is blasphemy before the Most High, who is deserving of our all. As we sang in that song just a moment ago, undivided. How will God respond to a blaspheming Babylon? Look at verse 5. After the public mocking of God, some stranger things occurred. In the blink of an eye, suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. As the king watched the hand write, his face turned pale, and he's so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. The king was baffled by the writing on the wall, and his limbs gave way. The knots of his loins were loosened, which in other words means that he soiled himself, he pooed his pants. The scared and now smelly king then requested the wisdom of Babylon, offering the interpreter the third highest position of authority in the land. Even with the great reward on offer, the wisdom of Babylon, in all its cultural diversity, remember it's a multicultural society, could not read or understand the strange sign. They didn't have the wisdom, they didn't have the knowledge. Belshazzar became even more terrified because the meaning of the writing was hidden to him. The most powerful kingdom on earth, the head of gold from Daniel 2, didn't have the wisdom, didn't have the understanding, the intellect, the insight. How can it, when its wisdom is that of darkness? Babylon was baffled. And Belshazzar had gone from proud face to pale face. And recognizing that strange sign, the queen then proclaimed, "Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man from Nebuchadnezzar's reign full of spiritual insight, having enlightenment, understanding, and wisdom. I remember that he can interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems. Daniel can untie knots. He will tell you what the writing means." The king was then forced to rely on the wisdom of Daniel, the wisdom he should have known about. And when the wisdom of Babylon failed to fill the void of Belshazzar's fear, he was required to seek wisdom from his last resort, the god he blasphemed. This is the irony of the story. And as people continue to create a world that revolves around their own name, their own fame, and their own power, their own success, their own glory, and as secular wisdom continues to baffle them in that mission to enhance themselves, I hope to see more and more people seek after the all-satisfying, all-fulfilling wisdom that God provides before it is too late, that God provides and has revealed himself to us in Christ, where we can have life, where we can have hope, where we can have satisfaction. And time is indeed ticking. Look at verse 18 to 31. After Daniel agreed to reading and explaining the strange sign, he reminded Belshazzar of his father's reign. The Most High gave Nebuchadnezzar his glory. Daniel says, all the nations and peoples of every language feared him, verse 18, because of the glory he was given. Nebuchadnezzar put to death, spared, promoted, and humbled who he wanted. But Nebuchadnezzar's glory was taken away until he acknowledged who really was the boss, until he acknowledged that God is the Most High, sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar's proud face was brought low when humbled by God. But rather than being humbled like his father, Belshazzar remained proud. He wasn't humble. Through the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar, God gave the whole blasphemous kingdom of Babylon time to repent from their idol-worshipping, pride-seeking ways, name-seeking ways. But because of God's righteous wrath of sin, of rebellion, his patience will not last forever, as we see in verse 22. Daniel says, "But you, Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself. Though he knew it all." You should have known better. He didn't listen to Nebuchadnezzar, his father. And since he didn't listen to his father, he did not honor the God who holds in his hand his life. Verse 23. Daniel then explained the judgment words written on the wall. "Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting, Peres. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That night, the proud king was slain. God ended his days. His supremacy was no more. The kingdom was divided as Darius the Mede took over. Babylon had been weighed and found wanting. Babylon, the mighty superpower, was ended. Babylon was beaten. Blasphemous Babylon was beaten. In Daniel 4, God gave blasphemous Babylon time to repent. In Daniel 5, that time had ended. God's patience ran out. The generation that did not learn from those who went before them were wiped out by a neighboring empire, Persia, Median Persian Empire. No one in Babylon could hold back God's hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Babylon's blaspheme was their own reckoning. For the sake of our life, we must also be gripped with the writing on the wall before it is too late. We need to be gripped by the message behind it. Since Jesus' earthly ministry, the stone in Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, cut out by the very hands of God, has started rolling down the mountainside, flipping this upside-down world the right way up. Jesus began renewing this blasphemous world when he proclaimed, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus healed people from demons, saying, "If it is the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you." Jesus died on the cross to forgive the rebels of the world, rose from the dead in power, and sent his rebels of grace, of his mercy, to make disciples of all nations. And Jesus is now seated at the right hand of power until he comes back to judge the world. And all those who have been weighed and found wanting in their sin will stand condemned. Then at last, the upside down world will be flipped the right way up when the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Babylon was beaten, its blasphemous nature still remains today. Blasphemy affects me, guys. It does. It affects me almost every day. I'm no perfect Christian. I'm not God. In the way I live, I insult him. It affects all of us. None of us are perfect. We've all blasphemed God in our lives and continue to do so. But if we understand that this lifestyle will be weighed and found wanting in Jesus' coming judgment, we must remember God and turn from this lifestyle. We must serve the living and true God and wait for Jesus from heaven, the one who rescues us from the coming wrath. Revelation 14:8 says, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." That's intense. Is it not? The upside down world is falling apart. The cellars of maddening wine will one day run dry and be replaced with another wine. And you can see that wine in verse 10 of Revelation 14:10. This drink will be replaced with the wine of God's fury from the cup of his wrath. What a challenge. You can be divided today, tomorrow, or any year. Only God knows when his patience is up. We can die any second. It's in his hands. Even though the Babylonian lifestyle may be good for food and pleasing to our eye, and it constantly does intrigue us, it will leave us baffled in torment forever if it's what we are living for. Hell's residents will be forgotten. Not even the dust of their remains will be noticed. Destruction will be their end, as we saw in Psalm 1 when Stephen read it. But those who have faith in Jesus must be comforted and also challenged. We have been freed from a life of idolatry, pride, and unbelief to live a life for the Most High. But we are surrounded by blasphemy every day. It's on every side of us. It's probably even here. We are living in the jaws of Babylon, and Babylon wants to devour us. In other words, we are living in the jaws of Satan, and he wants to crush us. When I first heard that image, it shocked me because I knew it was so true. The devil goes around like a roaring lion wanting to get us. The question we must ask ourselves is, am I being Babylonian? Well, sorry, the question which I've challenged you to ask yourselves is, am I being Babylonianized? But the better question we should ask ourselves is, how am I being Babylonianized? How am I being influenced by the Babylonian way of life, a life of blaspheme? If we cannot see that we are being nibbled at by the blasphemous life of Babylon, then we are likely already living that life. We're already probably Babylonian in all that we do. We need to ask the Spirit to reveal the blasphemy in our life so that we can confess our failings to the Heavenly Father, knowing that Christ will forgive us, that we will be forgiven in Jesus, because God is a merciful God. God is a forgiving God. I've said before that time is ticking, but Christ has come to give you life. And he encourages him now to live a life focused on him. Even though we will fail, God will be merciful to us in Christ. But please remember today that blasphemous Babylon will be beaten. This world in which we see, this divided world, this upside down world, will be flipped the right way up one day when it becomes the kingdom of God in its full glory. Blasphemous Babylon will be beaten. How are you being Babylonized? How are you being influenced by Babylon? Think about it this week. Think about today. Pray to God about it. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask God to help challenge you so that you may overcome those hardships in your life so that you can live for his name, the Most High. How are you being Babylonized? Let's pray. Lord of life, it is by the power of your resurrection that you can deliver us from this blasphemous life, this selfish life, this life of seeking honor, this life of seeking glory for ourselves. And we do pray that you bring us to the fullness of your joy, which comes from knowing you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.